The following is an unrehearsed taped interview with Ben Tussey, a dairy farmer in Jackson County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by Jenny Scott for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at Mr. Tussey's farm on August 3rd, 1983 at 2 o'clock p.m. First of all, I'd like to thank you for letting me come. I know it's a busy time for farmers. I've had trouble finding farmers at home, as a matter of fact.
Well, they're so mad out of heart, they just leave.
Is that it? Shoot, they all told me they were working. I'd like to start out with you telling me about your personal background, when and where you were born, who your parents were.
I was born at the time I was born, it was Middle Fork, Kentucky. Post office right here.
Right here in Jackson County, right here on this farm?
Right here on this farm.
Oh.
And I've farmed all my life, except 13 years I worked for the REA.
Here in the county?
Right here.
You never left this farm?
No.
Were your parents from here?
Born and raised right here, my lady was.
And what were their names?
Scott Tussey and Hattie Tussey.
Were your grandparents from here also?
No. My grandparents come from Virginia. Jake Tussey, he come from Virginia. And as to Grandpa Durham, I don't know where he come from. I don't have the history of it.
But your grandfather Tussey started this farm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many acres was it then?
It was about 300 acres of it at that time. And there's been some sold off of it, some added to it, and this, that, and other. In my operation right now, there's roughly about 400 acres.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of farmland.
Well, there's a lot of timber land on it, too.
What percentage is timber?
There's about a third of it.
Is it good timber?
Young timber. It's been cut over and worked over. And this, that, and other.
Now, what part of the county are you located in?
Well, I guess you can say the western part of the county.
How far is it from
McKee? It's 9 miles.
Back into McKee. And then what's on down this road?
Just farmland.
Farmland.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next town?
Livingston.
And how far is that?
It's 18 miles, Livingston.
So you're not too far from the Rock Castle line?
No. I'm about 6 miles from Rock Castle line.
Well, it seems like everywhere I go through Rockcastle County.
You do.
A little bit of it.
Yeah. Well, it's like coming here, so you come through
Rockcastle.
Uh-huh.
Up there. Yeah. I thought maybe it was closer over there than 18 miles.
No. It's Rockcastle is, well, I can get to Rockcastle quicker than I can or another county.
Another county, yeah.
Yeah. I'm about 11 miles from Laurel County line.
And then Clay County's not...
Oh, Clay County, I'd say it's 20 miles.
It's on the other side. Mm-hmm. On the other side, on 420 mile. Yeah. Well, did you have brothers and sisters, Mr. Tussey?
Yes, ma'am. I've got three brothers and three sisters.
Do they live here? Do they stay here in the county?
I've got two brothers and a sister that lives here in this county. And then I've got two sisters and a brother that lives in Ohio.
All of them farmers that live here?
Yeah.
Well, did you inherit this farm? That's not a good question.
No, I bought it.
You bought it from your parents?
From the herd.
So it was split?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At one time,
yeah.
When you bought it back. But sometimes they're just handed down, sometimes they're split up.
Yeah. Well, it was never split, only, I mean, they was ours parts in it, and I just bought
them. Just bought them out.
Bought them out. Mm-hmm.
Well, you farmed all your life. You grew up farming.
That's right.
With your father. Yeah. Tell me about farming then, the tools. How'd you manage your crops, that sort of thing? What did you grow then?
Back then, we grew corn and tobacco. We started growing tobacco in about 37 or 8. And we grew corn, as long as I can remember.
How much tobacco do you have in?
Well, I've got, of my own, I've got about 9,000-pound bees, and I lease in about 10,000.
Oh my goodness.
Try to grow about
20,000.
Yeah, between 20 and 21, mama. Just according to the season.
That's good money.
Let me turn this air conditioner on. Okay. Sell so much, 10% and this, that, and the other one. And I generally, last year I sold, I believe it's 24,000 pounds.
My gosh. What'd you make last year? How much did you bring a pound?
It averaged, all the way through, it averaged $1.84 after the floor expense.
How much was the floor expense last year?
It was, I believe, 14 cents.
Is that going to be higher this year?
Yeah, it's going to be higher.
That's good.
Well, they charged us a nickel last year for the sport price. They're going to charge us a dime this year.
So that's going to cut into your profits,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Well, how much does it cost you to get that to market?
You mean fertilizer?
Everything.
Everything. The best I can figure, and with what a lease, and this, that, and the other, and the fertilizer, and then the labor bill on it. It'll cost me in the neighborhood of about 80 cents a pound.
So you're still making a dollar?
Yeah, roughly a dollar.
A pound.
Or maybe a little better. Yeah.
Well, that's still good money, even with all the expenses. Tobacco is...
It's still, yeah, it's one of the best things that's going. I mean, for this part of the country.
Well, how much tobacco did you grow when your father had the farm?
We was on base then, I mean acreage, and there wasn't no such things as lease and tobacco or nothing. You just had a base and you had to grow it. We grew it about, on average, 2 acres, two and a half.
You know how many pounds came off that then?
Well, used to, if we got 900 pounds an acre, we was flying when we first started out. But as time went on, and about the last year that we was on acreage, I believe we grew to about 3,500 pounds an acre.
With the fertilizer and everything
coming
on it.
And the buildup of the land, you know, time.
Of course, it didn't cost as much then.
Oh, no.
Raise it, but you still make a better
profit. We sold it for a quarter of a pound.
That's a lot of work for a quarter of a pound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How'd you set it out?
Well, you set it by hand. We set it all together with machinery now. So.
But used to, you set it with a peg?
Yeah.
Pegged it in?
Or an old hand, they had a hand tobacco setter.
A jobber?
Uh-huh, yeah. If it was real dry, you set it and give it so much water with this setter. It took two, one to run the setter and one to drop the plant. You can set about an acre a day if you get a good early start.
With two people?
Uh-huh.
That's still a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Well, it's been
In 39, I believe it was, and I believe this is right, my dad growed an acre and a half of tobacco. Took the warehouse and sold it. And they sent him word that wrote him a letter and told him that he owed him $1.50 to pay the floor expense on.
Oh, no.
So
a year's work.
And it didn't bring enough to pay the warehouse for the...
Did he grow it in 40?
Yeah.
Tried it again. Was that the only crop he sold? Is that the only thing you grew to sell?
Yeah, that was the only thing. We just only, at that time, just kept enough cows to give us kids meal. And we always kept the heifer calves and stuff. And maybe sell 4 or 5 steers a year or something like that.
Just people who wanted beef cattle
or
something.
Or take them to the market, you know, sell them.
And the corn, he grew that to feed?
We tried to grow enough corn to go to mill on, have her cornbread, fatten her hogs, and feed her team.
So you had hogs, too?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just have one team?
No, we had two teams.
Two teams. That's a little bit cheaper than a tractor, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say they're coming back. I'd say they'd be back in style in 10 years.
I think small farmers gonna...
Well, that's the only way a small farmer can operate.
Can do it. And you can't pay these expenses any longer, can they?
No. Well, what's the use in working if you're going to this swap money?
Yeah.
I bought a new tractor back 2 months ago, $26,000. One tractor.
That wasn't with any machine
or
anything?
No, not
a
piece of equipment.
But
this is my tractor.
That will that tractor pay for itself?
Yeah, in time to come.
How long?
Well, it'll just about have to run trouble free for 10 years.
Small farmer couldn't.
No, I mean, that is where we are headed. The small, you're going to either be big enough to pack the load or you're either going to get out.
That's what's happening.
And here's where it is. The small farmer owns enough of land till he can raise enough of food to survive on.
To eat on.
But he ain't going to invest no money or do no excess work to help produce food for the other part of the nation if they don't get something done for him.
What could be done?
Well, they could pay the farmer a little more for his product. They could cut his machinery repairs down. My point of view, and the way as I look at the economy and the way I think about it, there ain't but one thing that's destroyed everything. That's labor union.
Maybe
you believe in it, and maybe.
No.
That's why I paid $26,000 for a tractor out here.
When it's worth,
say roughly, if you went divided it's worth, you'd pay $10,000 for it.
And the other $10,000 or $16,000 went to
unionized
labor.
That's right. The way I see it, we're all equalized. We're all going the same way. Rich, poor, or whatever. There's nobody in the United States that is worth over $5 or $6 a year.
But yet we have people working on that tractor.
Yeah,
on
that's
the
drawing.
Assembly line making $25.
$25 and $30 a year. Well, you see who's paying for that? Me.
The farmer.
All right, when I go to sell my product, they tell me what they'll give me. They don't tell me what they don't ask me, what do you have to have?
Well, you don't have a choice either. You have to sell that product,
no.
And you have to buy back.
That's just like I milk 63 cows. I can't buy dairy feed. I can't pay electric bill and pour my milk out. Get more money.
No, you have to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's like the government. See, stepped in. They put 50 cents a hundred on my milk. They take that out of my check before ever I get it.
Now, what does that go for? 50 cents.
In order for them to support the milk. Instead of my taking 50 cents out, they ought to give us 50 cents.
But that's supporting the milk. Is that why we have all these... surpluses?
Yeah, to some extent. Don't get me wrong, we've got to have rules and laws and this, that, and other. But DI, that's who I sell my milk to. That's a big organization. They keep our money 2 weeks
before they give it.
Back to us. They've got 2 weeks to operate on.
Sure.
They take so much a month out of our check to operate on. Capital gain. Then they're not allowed to sell the milk for what they want to sell it for. They have to sell it for what the government sells it for. It's like if the government wasn't in it, DI instead of having all this surplus milk and cheese and butter that they're giving back to this class of people that won't work, they could sell it to these foreign countries.
And eventually some of that money would trickle back down to
you,
to the farmer.
Well, here, if I'm making candy and you're selling it, if you can sell it for a dollar a pound, and I can produce it, get it out, and you make a little, I make a little. All right, if you raise it to a dollar and a quarter, I'm looking for a little bit back to me.
Right.
Yeah.
To trickle down.
That's the same way the milk business. If DI can move the product, get rid of it, sell it to the foreign country, it's a begging for it. Mm-hmm. And if they can get $15 a hundred over there for it, why not? If they can afford to raise our price, but now they're going to cut the support price on our milk, see, a dollar. Well, then they're going to put another 50 cents. That's $2 they're going to take off the farmer flat right there.
$2 per 100 pound.
Per 100 pound weight. Well, we're getting 13 and a quarter for milk right now, and we'll be getting 11 and a quarter.
This doesn't seem like the time in economy to be cutting anyone. And the farmer the least one.
Well, here's what's going to happen. When they wake up some morning with nothing to eat, they're going to say, well, why hadn't we done this or why hadn't we done that?
Well, why do you think they haven't?
Well, they've all just kicked the old farmer around day in the way they wanted to. They let it go.
Is it because those people that's making those rules and decisions aren't farmers?
I see.
Do they not know enough about farming?
They don't know enough. Well, it's your politicians who's doing it.
Those politicians have been farmers.
They don't give a snap for nobody, only theirself when it comes right down to the brass tacks. Here's the way I see farm. Me and that boy of mine will run $100,000 a year in farming. That's milk, tobacco, baby calves. That's something we'll run through $100,000. Well, in our operation, we've got around $300,000 in investment tied up in cattle, milk and equipment, machinery, and land, and fertilizer.
You've probably got more than that.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that. Well, you take $300,000 at 8% and see what that would make. Okay. But we're barely lucky enough to put grub on the table first eat and meet her, buy a few pieces of new equipment occasionally, just like a tractor or something.
Well, is that the reason so many small farmers are just giving up and going out?
Sell
their farms, put that money on interest?
Yeah. If I had what I've got invested in land, machinery, and cattle, I've got $80,000 invested in milk cattle. Mm. If I had all of this money and put it on interest, I could live like a king and never turn my hand.
And yet, you're not even counting your time.
No. Uh-uh.
All your life is an investment.
No. Uh-uh.
Why do you do it?
Well, I just enjoy it. I just enjoy it. And I've raised a boy that's just, I've talked to him today, and let me sell it. And he won't agree to it.
Would you have sold it if he'd let
you?
Yeah,
I'd sell it right now.
Would you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd be foolish for not selling it. Because I see where things is going to get worse before they get better.
Yeah, I think they are too. I think we're on there. But how old is your son?
He's 22.
He's going to be a farmer, I take it.
Yeah. He practically, well, he does about all the work now. I mean, the biggest thing I help do is milk.
How long does it take you to do that?
Takes about 3 hours a day.
What time do you start?
Start at 6 in the morning.
And then 6 at night?
Yeah, well, since it's hot weather, we may hold off till 7.
Cool.
May cool down a little bit.
how many pound? I guess you don't know gallons, you know pounds. How many pounds do you milk a day?
A day? Uh-huh. Well, we've been milking about 3,000 pounds a day.
Now, does that run into tanks and then they pick it up?
It never hits our. From the time it leaves the cow, it never, no wire don't get to it. All lines, vacuum sealed, tanks.
Well, that's got to be a big expense to.
Oh, yeah.
For all that equipment.
Yeah. I started milking 6 years ago. I paid $1 a day for electric. Now, I'm paying near $4 a day. Some through these hot months now it's running a little over $4 a day. Through the winter months it runs about $4.
Well, now is that that runs your barns and your equipment?
That's just the milking part.
Oh, just the milking part. That doesn't include your house. So you have to make a big profit on that milk.
Well, you've got, time. That's like I said there back a few minutes ago. By the time you take your electric bill, your insurance, your repairs, your phone bills, your groceries, and this, that, and other, you ain't got nothing left out of a $100,000 operation. Fellas say, Lord, look at the money man. They don't see the feed that you buy. They don't see the veterinarian calls you've paid for.
Is that a lot? Does that run a lot a year?
Well, some years, maybe I won't have a veterinarian more once or twice than some years. May have him 25 times. It's just according.
Was this hot weather affected your cows?
Yeah, it's caused them to have a little loss in their milk for the.
But you haven't had any mastitis?
No mastitis.
A lot of the farmers are having bad problems with.
Well, I've got a neighbor that's had a little mastitis problem. I don't know why, but he has had it through this hot weather.
Yeah, so the last week they were just having.
I've had one cow in the last 2 years to have mastitis.
You're lucky.
I'm bad lucky.
Yeah, I'd say. Well, have you ever run beef cattle?
Yeah.
As opposed to dairy?
Yeah. I run beef cattle back 20 years ago.
You prefer the dairy cattle?
Well, that's the only route I can sure know I might make a dollar right now.
Beef cattle just too big a chance.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's like if you run beef cattle, maybe this year they'll bring 300, next year they'll bring 100.
You know. It's just not worth the risk.
And it's come around to where the farmer has got as many monthly bills as the city folks has got.
Or more.
Yeah, or more.
Or more, right. Mm-hmm. So the only kind of farmer that's going to survive, small farmer, is going to be one that has an outside job.
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grows his own food.
Yeah.
Grows his own beef, or raises his own beef, rather.
You take fellers, right now, if you're really wanting to make money in the dairy business, I need 50 more cows.
Do you have space for them?
Yeah, I could handle 50 more by going to a dry lot. I mean, keep them on concrete at all times. But that one cost me another $10,000 to fix the lot.
And how much for the cows?
Well, roughly $50,000,
$60,000. So that's a big gamble.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. And like I said, with the government, they're going to take a dollar out and cut our support price a dollar. In the high interest rates, there's no point in you trying to get any bigger.
Trying to make any more, really.
No.
It's just going
to
go.
Here's what I think they ought to do, what the whole thing is. They ought to take these big, young, stout, husky men that are sitting back and drawing food stamps, never hit a tap in their life. They ought to give so many to each farmer and say he's got to put in so many hours a week. You're his boss. Let them have a certain place for you to pick them up. If you don't need them, give them to somebody else.
And then take that money they're taking out, that dollar and a half,
Well, now that's right where this year dollar that they're taking out of our milk right now. It, the reason they started that was in order to have money to pay the food stamp program.
And they aren't doing anything in return, are they?
Uh-uh.
Are there a lot of people in Jackson County on food stamps?
Lord, yeah.
No industry.
I'd say 90%.
Is it that high?
There are more.
These are people who are able to work, too.
That's right, yeah. Here, don't get me wrong. I ain't no criminal or nothing like that. But I don't believe that there's a person that's under 65 years of age that can't do something.
Clean the garbage off the road is better than doing nothing.
That's right. If it's a woman, she can piece quilts. She can sew. She can do something. But now this year, 10% of people are working.
And supporting the rest of
them. And 90% are sitting. There's going to have to be an end brought to that. Somewhere down the road.
Well, people that are hurting are people like you and me
that
work
that's
every
right.
day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nobody waits on me. Mm-hmm. If I owe somebody, they're looking for their money. I've got to get it there.
Right, and if you need groceries.
That's right. If I
get sick.
If
you have the money, fine. If not, you don't buy the groceries.
You don't have no groceries. If I get sick and go to the doctor, he don't cut his charges on me because I ain't got a Medicare card.
Right.
I still have to pay.
Well, is there anything those people have to pay?
No. They get help for the fuel bill. They get help on their light bills. They get a Medicare card, pays for anything, medicine, doctor bills, hospital. They get so many dollars worth of food stamps a month.
Well, someone told me that if you burned wood and you were on welfare and you needed help to buy your wood to burn, that the government will help you?
They'll give it, yeah.
Couldn't all these people go out and
everybody
cut their own wood?
That's right, yeah.
That's amazing.
I've got a sister-in-law, married a fella. They raised four kids. I bet you that man has never worked out as much as $100 and bought it up in groceries for them children. The government has given them food stamps and paid their bills.
And yet those kids probably ate better than mine and yours.
Well, sure, they had steaks.
Yeah.
Mine didn't.
Yours had bologna, it's not mine.
Or what they could get.
Isn't that kind of what's wrong with...
That's what's wrong with. There's too many free hand-me-outs. Yeah. I believe back in the forefathers' times, they wasn't no hand-me-outs.
No.
Everybody worked. If you're 90, you're still trying to work.
I don't have anything against helping people.
No. But
elderly
be sure they
people,
need it.
Right. If they're trying to help themselves.
If I come along and give you five hams of meat this month, and I come back next month and say, I give you five more, if you ain't eat them all five, you don't need them five.
Well,
That's just the way of these food stamps.
You do if you have dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, they won't allow them to buy dog food and stuff like that with the food stamp. They go to the... I've got a brother-in-law that runs a supermarket in Lexington. And he says them people in Lexington buy steaks, hamburger, anything to feed their dogs.
But they have enough.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
it's not like you and me going to the grocery and having to...
You can go to a grocery store. Just, if you ain't thought of it or tried it, you just go to a grocery store and just get in your stop and just watch.
Well, I have. I do every time I go.
And you can tell this as well when a food stamp person rolls up is day and night.
Well, in Richmond, At the grocery I go to, I can always pick them out because they have family packages of pork chops. I have never bought a family package of pork chops. If I had the money, I don't think I would, because I know everyone think I had food stamps.
Yeah.
They buy the family packages of meats, and they have
the best.
Everything in the world.
The best of grub.
And they're my age and younger. You know, they're not elderly people. You see very few elderly people. People look that look like they need them. You see little old ladies that look like they need them. You never see them with them. It's always, like you said, the big strapping young people.
Yeah. That's why, that as they would say, everybody has to work so many hours. They wouldn't have to cut them off food stamps. Hmm. They wouldn't have to cut them off.
And they'd help grow this.
That's right.
Raise this crops. Yeah.
You give me 5 work hands so many hours a week, well, I could triple my business and not cost me a penny.
And you wouldn't have to raise your prices any.
No.
And hold them the same price.
That's right.
I think eventually they're gonna have to do something. Yeah. You know, farmers can't keep going, can they?
No. Well, they ain't going to.
Well, like you said, not when you can put $300,000 in and live off the interest. You're not going to break your back to.
No, that's right.
To make it.
If, just like I said, if it wasn't for this boy of mine, that dearly and truly loved farming, been born and raised, brought right up in it, cut his teeth on the steering wheel of a tractor. I'd sell it this evening.
But his love of the land is keeping it.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Well, now, are there a lot of farmers in Jackson County going out of business? Have you seen that much?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they selling to?
Well, it's more or less the farmers here in Jackson County has quit. They're just...
Is other small farmers picking them up?
And no. Well, they're leasing their tobacco. And then they're just holding on to their home and stay place. If somebody comes along and wants to cut the hay or rent their farm, they rent it to them. Otherwise, it's just laying there.
But those are the people that don't owe anything on the land.
That's right. Yeah. Don't owe nothing. Got no obligation.
Just letting it grow up.
Just letting it grow up. See, they can lease their backer for so much pound.
And that takes such a little amount of land.
That's right. And that's like they talk about turning the backer loose. If they turned it loose in the morning, there would be more back. There wouldn't be as much tobacco grown as there is being grown now.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Instead of me getting out here and leasing tobacco and paying so much a pound for it, I just grew up what I had barn room to house. Mm-hmm. And
I wouldn't have to go through all this leasing.
No, that's right. But the people that would hurt from that when they turned loose is old retired people that's not able to raise tobacco, that's leasing, say, 1,000 pound of tobacco for $600 a year.
Which is for them some extra money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Money to live on.
Yeah. And which they need. And this like that.
Well, do you grow, you raise hay and corn now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You silage?
Silage all my corn.
Does that feed your cattle?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one part of the feed.
But it doesn't?
No. I buy all my dairy feed.
What's your feed bill a year?
Well, I'd say it'll run about between $25,000 and $30,000 a year feed bill.
That's a big chunk out of that $100,000.
Yeah, that's just dairy feed alone now.
And you've got your machinery, replacement breakage, what have you, fuel oil,
and
fertilizer seeds.
Yeah. Fertilizer bill run approximately $7,000 to $8,000.
What about fuel bill?
Fuel bill run around $2,500 for the tractor.
How many tractors do you have?
Two. And then there's your repair bill. Some years it'll run $4,000-$5,000. Some years it may not run more than $2,500.
But you still plan on?
You've got so much to plan on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you take 25 per feet and so much for fuel and fertilizer. And frankly, it costs me in insurance and interest and tax. It costs me $350 a day to get out of the bed.
My gosh.
Now that's no lie.
Well, we're not going to have young people going into farming without
inheriting. That's what I tell Scotty, that there's no future in him staying in and working like I've worked when he can quit and live and fare better. But he
wouldn't be happy.
No.
That's the thing with farmers. They'll hold on till the bitter end to hang on.
But you see quite a few farmers folding. Bankrupts.
Farmers that had to go out and buy the land in the last 25 years.
And you see dairy farmers, they're going out of dairy one after another right now.
Future don't look very bright, does it?
Well.
For the food supply of the nation.
That's right, yeah.
I'd
say that it's got to get in bad shape. You let this dry weather hold on 3 more weeks right now. They showed on television the other night up in Indiana for them corn fields, hundreds of acres of corn. The shuck done turned brown on it, nothing but a cob.
Well, what's the soil bank?
Well, it's destroyed.
If we don't get rain, the soil bank is going to destroy cattle and...
Where I'm paying $200 a ton for feed right now, I figure by the first year I'll be paying $250 or maybe $300 a ton.
If we don't get the rain.
Still no promise of a raise in the milk.
Do you think there'll be one?
I doubt it.
How do they expect you to keep going?
they want us to starve.
But this size farm is the farm that's producing and feeding.
Yeah.
The little farmers aren't. They're, like you said, they're just living on it. And,
this is the stay place.
Yeah. It's a home place.
Yeah, that's the home place.
But this size farm is feeding in numerous people.
Yeah. You take this, the milk alone, you look at the people.
That you supply milk to.
That's right. Yeah.
Looks like something's going to have to be done somewhere down the road.
But our Congress, our senators and stuff, the president thinks we're making all kinds of money. I reckon.
I wish they could go around and talk to 12 farmers with your size farm.
That's right.
Smaller.
Yeah. I ain't the only man that puts this story up.
It's straight down the line, same thing.
Yeah.
If I went out now and bought a farm, 200-acre farm, bought the machinery to run it, and put, I won't even say dairy cattle because of the expense getting into it. Say I put beef cattle on it and stocked it. Am I going to make enough to pay the interest on that?
If I
work 24 hours a day?
No way.
So you cannot expect young people to
I've worked 50 years. I'll be 50-year-old in December. And I started working and saving and trying to make money when I was 16 years old and buying land. And I've been this long, and I can see where that I've got a son-in-law that owns for a farm right now I helped buy. And he's running about as big operation as me and Scotty run. And he's paying interest on about $118,000 or $119,000. He's milking about 40-something cows, raising about 20-something thousand pounds of tobacco. And if it wasn't for his wife were working, and for me and Scotty a happy, that family, these three of them, would go hungry.
And they'd lose the farm?
Yeah, they'd lose the farm.
So there's no way a young person can...
No. There ain't no way. There ain't no way that a young boy and a woman can step out and buy a farm today and pay the interest rates and buy his, and start out and pay the interest, let alone anything on the principal.
And right. Have no kind of life whatsoever.
No. Uh-uh.
Well, what's going to happen? Will people with a lot of money buy these farms up and run them, or just as
well,
tax
no,
shelters?
Not as long as the interest is like it is. People with money, it's foolish to pull it off of interest and buy land when it is creating a new worry and a problem.
I know in Madison County they're developing farms. We were counting last night how many big farms had gone to subdivisions in
You look at the thousands of acres that is went into subdivisions, went into roads, and they ain't near the farmland that they was 25 years ago.
Oh, no. Not nearly. Well, McKee doesn't have any industry, do
they? Got one little wood crate plant in a doll factory up here they call Possum Trot.
Oh, is that McKee?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That and the Rock Quarry is the only industry besides the electric and telephone that there is in this camp.
Why haven't some more industry moved in?
I don't know.
You'd think they would. The labor's here.
It's here, yeah.
They just move in and use it. I know McKee doesn't seem to have grown any since I lived in Clay County. It still looks the same size. And yet, Richmond has taken over Madison County.
That's right. Richmond and Lexington will join in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. We live on the north side, and there's 10 big subdivisions between Richmond, between the interstate on North 25 and the river. 10 big ones. I mean, 250 houses. And all those in the last 6 years. The prime farmland.
They'll join in the next 10 years.
Well, McKee's lucky in that respect. You know, the industry stays out. Well, the farmland stays in. It may grow back up. But this will never be farmland again. You know, when you put the subdivisions, it's never going to be farmland.
No, and they'll be put back in farmland. But what I see will come out of it before the farmer is ever known or they appreciate him is they'll wake up some more than nothing for nobody to eat.
Is it going to have to go that far before?
I'd say it will.
We're going to have to hit close at any rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you let a drought hit. Seem like this one now is hitting pretty well nationwide. Uh-huh. And you let that happen this year, and with what farmers that will go out with good years, study what will go out with the bad.
Oh, we're going to lose half of them. We're going to lose hog farmers.
I was just reading that in the REA book. How many million farmers short today to what there was in 70? The census showed. And they wonder what from 80 to 90 will bring. I can tell them what it'll bring.
It's going to bring a lot of people like you with $300,000 in the bank, drawing the interest and not caring anymore what happens to that.
Yeah. I can take an acre of ground and raise my garden.
Live on it.
And live, and fish 7 days a week.
Well, you grow your own beef now, I guess, don't you? You go grow your own pork too?
Yeah.
Did you ever grow hogs commercially?
One time in my life.
Why'd you quit?
Well, I'd forgotten the dairy business. I couldn't hardly operate two enterprises. They both required time about at the same time together. And I mean, I just dropped out of the hog business.
Was it pretty chancy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not as bad as, I mean, it's far more chancy than dairy cattle.
Yeah. Dairy business, it's been a pretty good thing. But I see, I mean, I'm seeing where it's getting in bad trouble right now. With feed prices going up, and this, that, and other, it's going to get like beef cattle or hog prices and this, that, and
other. Well, Nora told me by the time you got a calf to market, you didn't make anything on the
cattle. No,
She said the only thing that their cattle was doing was keeping the farm clean, keeping it
well, from growing. Well, anybody that's a farmer has got to have so many cattle to pick the rough land.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll just grow up.
Grow back up.
Yeah. You can't afford to buy fuel and run this costly equipment just to clip off a piece of ground to keep it looking good.
Yeah. And 3 or 4 years of that and it's grown up.
Yeah.
It's bleak outlook, to say the least, for the farmer.
Right. I see where the farmer will fold and quit as fast as the factories has.
There's going to be a lot of hungry people, though.
Well, yeah. That's when, I mean, when the government has got, they may have plenty of food stamps to give this sorry class of people, don't get me wrong. But
they're
if this sorry class of people can't find nothing in the grocery store to buy it,
it's going to make a difference.
That's right, yeah. Here, I'll put it like this. I'm strictly against food stamps. But if it wasn't for the food stamps right now, the way the government is operating, the way they feel towards the farmer, and the way they set the prices, and the way they're doing, the farmer would have done been a hurt. A lot worse than what he's hurt.
Yeah, and especially in this economic times, like
that's
it
right.
is, probably so.
Yeah.
But it still isn't right.
No.
The farmer doesn't.
I still say if they want to give them to them, go ahead and give them to them. But let them work so many hours.
To pay for them, doing something.
That's right.
Like you said, everyone can do something.
That's right. I can think of 10,000 things at these food stamp people. You take these here big 14, 15-year-old boys and girls that don't do nothing but lay at home on the couch and watch TV that is being fed right off of food stamps. Wouldn't it be more honored and more charitable if they had to work so many hours a week of picking up bottles and cigarette packs and tin cans and stuff off the roadside?
Oh, yes. What worries me is not just those people, but the generations we're raising up like that.
That's right. You're what you're raised to be.
Yeah.
If you are raised to work, you'll work. If you are raised to lay on a couch and let somebody feed you, you'll do that.
And we're running into each one of these families have 4 and 5 children.
That's right.
And we're raising just another hundreds.
Well, they'll marry off by the time they're 14 or 15 and start them a family so they can get on.
So they can get the money.
Yes, sir.
And pay nothing. It just blows my mind when I think about it.
I mean, that's
people that's had to work all their lives, like you and I have.
Yeah.
And then just give it away.
It's not right. It's not fair.
Well, your son will inherit your farm. Keep it going, I'm sure.
Like I say, he's got, if he'd stop and think, he's got no future to work.
To stay in.
Stay in. He'd do.
What would happen if you didn't have that son? Would you sell it off now and just get out completely?
Yeah. I'd have been out 2 years ago.
What would you do?
I'd just get me a house and about an acre of land somewhere.
Lay around on the couch and watch TV.
And fish. Visit my neighbors. They wanted to work. Well, I'd help them. Otherwise.
I can't imagine a farmer doing that.
Well, I mean, I'd keep myself occupied. It's something. I just wouldn't come in the house and sit down.
But no, you wouldn't feel like you're working for nothing like you do now.
Yeah, that's right.
But how many big farms are there in Jackson County?
Are there quite a few? Yeah, there's quite a few. Quite a few big farms. Yeah.
What section of the county are the bigger farms located in?
Well, they're pretty well distributed all over the county.
I don't know that much about Jackson
County. There's some great big farms all over. Now you take back towards Madison County, out on Pine Grove, there's some big farms. And then Kirby Knob in there, there's some great big farms.
Are most of them dairy farms?
No, they ain't. They ain't over 10 or 12 dairy farms, I don't think, in the whole county.
What are they, beef?
They're beef.
Most people are in beef cattle.
A lot of these farms is went to this strictly backer too and quit the cattle bed.
Is their farm growing up?
Yeah, to a great extent.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's growing up. But you see, beef cattle ain't been no good. To say good for, well, they'll have one good year and then
four or five bad.
It's like the hog business, you'll have one good and two bad ones. I was talking to Bert Summers here this morning, that's my neighbor right down here, and he said he had about 600 pigs he figured to sell yet this year. And he said he's losing $20 to the pig. So you can figure that out, that's $12,000.
He can't stay in business long.
No,
like that,
that's what he said. He said he's just swapping money.
Well, you can't expect people to keep doing that year after year after year.
I said, well, I want you to do what I want to do. I said, just sell out and quit. He said, my boy won't let me.
My dad has a farm, and he's holding on to it for exactly the same reason. The children won't
let him. I mean, people does things that they want to do, which I guess that's about as good a way as you can spend life. I've enjoyed farming every minute.
Yeah, you do like farming.
Yeah.
But I
see where that it's saying it's almost useless to work hard enough to try to make money. So for the past 2 years, about the only thing I've tried to do is work hard enough to keep my farm, my fencing, my buildings, and my machinery all up in good shape and live pretty good. Have enough to eat.
Just quit trying to make.
That's right. As far as trying to operate big enough to show a net profit, I quit trying to do that.
You just want to break even.
That's right.
Keep everything
up.
Well, you still grow all your own food, I guess, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have orchards?
Yeah.
You have an orchard also?
Yeah, about 10 or 12 fruit trees. And
garden.
And a garden. Grow my pork, grow my beef.
You don't have to buy very much then, do you?
No.
That's the good thing about farming.
Don't have to buy too much. But still, maybe some weeks we don't go to the grocery. And then maybe when we go, we can run $40, $50, say for 2 weeks. That's not too much of a grocery bill.
No, and what you grow is so much better than what you can buy. Now, that's the advantages, I think, too.
Yeah.
And raising children on a farm, I think, is an advantage.
Don't get me wrong, you can raise kids, school them and everything. But I feel as though country life is the right place to raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's more right now than ever on account of so many drugs. Is that other than these cities?
Well,
and so much idle time on their hands.
Right. They don't have that boredom on the farm, do they?
Uh-uh.
Not like they have if they, well, live in a subdivision, that's never right. Never get out of it.
You take these kids that's raised in subdivision, this, that, and other. If they go fishing, they have to go 8 or 10 miles or something. Right. For a farm kid or raised out in the country, you can always run to the river and fish, or a farm pond. It gives him a lot of other things to do.
Right, it takes away that boredom.
That's right, yeah.
That so many kids get in trouble.
Just like I was talking to a fella the other day, he said he didn't know what was wrong with the young generation of people in Dayton. He said, why, they're crazy. Well, I said, they've got nothing to do, nothing to occupy.
That's right, that's right. You can't take a 12, 13-year-old child and set it down.
No.
And keep it in the
house.
I can see
why these young kids is on dope. Yeah. And this, that, and that. I can understand.
It gets rid of the boredom.
Any person that goes, I say, on dope, I'd say 90% of them has got an ambition, an instinct to do something. Mm-hmm. And they've got it, not got it to do, or can't get it to do.
Right. And nowhere.
Nowhere to do it, and that gives them a legal excuse then to start the drug business.
Mm-hmm.
One leads on to another.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think you can beat it to raise kids. It's a hard life.
Oh, yeah.
But I still don't think you can beat it. I think it would be far better if you move a lot of these kids out and
that's right. Yeah.
Put them on farms. You know, they'd be
more content.
We'd be better off.
Yeah.
That generation's going to rule us.
Yeah.
Before it's over.
Well, we're going to live under them.
That's right.
Before we, if we live to be a normal life.
Right.
And that's why I can see people to go to the country.
Oh, yeah, me too. But, well, just...
If you can't live in the country, it's not actually, you'll say, well, I can't live in the country. But if you're raising a family this day and time, that's the way I see it. If you live in the country, you can raise your grub to feed them kids. Mm-hmm. They can help grow it. Mm-hmm. They can learn where it comes from.
And learn the responsibility.
Right. And it would be better to drive 25 or 30 miles and raise a kid in the country than it would be to raise them in a subdivision or a complex or something like that.
I agree. Well, we've tried to buy 10, 15 acres, and there's no way.
No.
You can't do it. And if we didn't have the farm we already have, it might be different, but we can't afford to get rid of that one.
That's right.
You know, to buy another one, it's just not worth it. But our kids do have the best of two worlds because they do have that farm.
Yeah.
To go back to.
Go back to.
But so many of the children don't have that.
Oh. Just like that brother-in-law that I was talking about, that I cut his wood, and he's living in Lexington in a subdivision. He's got a 10-year-old boy. And all that kid wants to do is sit and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got no... He ain't been out where the saying is... the motions went on and this, that, and other. So when he goes to school and a boy walks up and says, here, smoke you a joint. It'll give you a buzz.
He'll do it.
He'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's where we're making a great big mistake.
Yeah.
We're not giving those children anything to do.
I went and got him and kept him 3 weeks this year. When I first brought him here, I had a rap mark trouble of getting him to go with me. And just to go to milk or something like that. And I kept fooling with him, talking to him, and got him a little interested in milking and helped set the backer and this, that, and other, and learned him how to pull backer plants. He didn't know how to pull back.
What one was,
what
I don't guess.
And I just kept fooling with him, and his daddy come up here in 2 weeks. And he said, come here to John. I said, oh, you ain't ready to go home. I said, oh, yeah. He said, John said, are you going home? He said, no, let me stay another week. So he stayed that week. They come back to get him the following weekend. And he had to go home in order to go on a camping trip, Boy Scouts or something. And my gosh, he's been gone now 3 weeks. And he's called me 3 weekends and running. He said, come get me, Uncle Ben. Said that these walls is killing me down here. Yeah.
I wanna see that energy has to go someplace.
So I talked to his mother a Sunday. She works, and her daddy works in this store. And I said, why don't you let John come up here and stay with me and Narcissa? I said, ain't got nobody here but this us. And I said, Scotty comes and eats breakfast and supper, in and out. But I said, he ain't no trouble. I said, the same water washes clothes and the same electric cookies food. I said, why don't you let him come up here and catch the bus and go to school up here for Key and help us for the evenings and on the weekend be around here. For I said, you all ain't got but a day with him. And I said, you're killed, you're trying to rest. And I said, it'll be a good thing for him. And she agreed it would be a good thing, but they won't give him up.
Won't let him go.
No, but boy, he a dead ready, son.
Well, those little kids that age have so much energy, they're going to put it someplace,
yeah,
good or bad.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
good or
bad.
They're
going to do something with
you
it.
You see why there's so much crime and stuff going on in these cities.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I think we're making a big mistake. Well, I've about taken your whole day, Mr. Tussin.
Well, that's all right.
Sure want to thank you for letting me come by and talk with you. And we'll probably come back, if that's okay, and talk with you again.
All right.
Sometime, give me a couple weeks. If they don't give you a call, that's okay.
That's fine.